Praise the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you so very much for continuing to move in here as you have. We lay all things aside, God, that you may do as you please. Cover each one of us in the shed blood of your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are moving amongst each one of us and those watching. We give you all honor and glory for this service, for everything that you're doing here. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're going to learn about the government shutdown, which, if you've heard about this, it's like almost fear-mongering on the media. Oh, the government's going to shut down. And all these things are going to happen. Well, up front, I just want to say that they did pass some legislation late last night that prevented the government from shutting down. It extends their extreme budget spending for another 45 days. So there really is no concern. But we do need to be informed and aware of what a government shutdown actually is, what it means, and how it will affect us, and in what ways. You may have heard talk about a government shutdown looming before us, the possibility of which could have occurred today. There is a lot of fear-mongering and blame being thrown around in the media regarding the entire situation. But we should first look at what a shutdown really is. In the last 40 years, the government has shut down 10 times, with the threat of shutting down occurring even more frequently. In recent times, the primary reason the government shuts down is because of money. Like anywhere else, there is a budget. We only make a certain amount of money, and we should only spend a certain amount of money. The government spent a lot more money than what it takes from people, significantly more. Because they reached their spending limit, they can't spend any more money. It means they can't afford to pay government employees or fund government programs. Before we get into what will be affected by a government shutdown, let's go over what won't be affected. The post office. It isn't funded by spending bills, so it will remain fully functional. The DMV will be unaffected because it is run by the state, not the federal government. Now we get into the might be affected territory. Airports will remain open, although there can be staff shortages. This is because federal workers, the TSA and air traffic control, don't get paid during a shutdown. Even though they are technically required to show up for work, many of them don't, as we saw during the last shutdown 4 years ago. There's a problem when the airport's open, but there's no air traffic controllers. That's dangerous, but they're not going to tell you that. Passport offices will remain open, but it will likely take longer than normal to process applications. The IRS may or may not be affected by a shutdown. This is something to look into if you've received an extension to filing your taxes by October 16th. They may have access to emergency funds to continue operating, but it's unclear how much that is or how long it would last. National parks and monuments may still be accessible, but might not be staffed. Some could be locked down. This also applies to museums. The following will definitely be affected, and this is the important one. SNAP benefits, your food stamps, the WIC program for infants and children, and Meals on Wheels, which is food delivery for elderly people. Those programs would be shut down. No money would be coming from those assistance programs. Many of us have or know someone who survives because of these programs. They won't terminate on October 1st or whenever there is a shutdown. They won't just be cut off. They might even still go through for weeks or longer. It depends on the reserve monies and how long a potential shutdown lasts. Another program called Head Start would also be affected, which provides resources and education to preschoolers. So that whole program, that whole thing would just stop. No money, we ran out, so we can't do anything for you. Can you imagine the hysteria if people don't get their food stamps? They can't send their kids to preschool. They can't do any of this stuff. That would be really bad. There would be a lot of violence on hand. So this is why it's important to understand what a government shutdown really is and how it affects all these different things that we kind of take for granted. In the past, government shutdowns haven't lasted that long, and when they did happen, 90% of the time, it's only been for a few days, and that's going back 40 years. The longest time the government was ever shut down was for 36 days in 2018-2019. Historically speaking, there isn't any cause for panic. They will likely resolve it in a matter of days, which they did last night, and it'll be business as usual in the short term. The real problem isn't the government shutdown. It's the reason why it has to shut down. There's a big problem with the money in this country. We spoke earlier of a budget. You only make a certain amount of money. Essentials, like bills that pertain to housing, electricity, heat, and running water, should be the first things that are paid off. It's mandatory. Some people don't understand that, namely the government. Right now, our national debt, and if you don't know that, now you do. What our government does, however, is the complete opposite. Right now, our national debt is $33.1 trillion. We owe that money. Every single taxpayer in this country would have to pay $255,000 each in order to clear that debt. Every single citizen in the country, including those born today, would owe $98,000 each in order to pay off our national debt. Now you see why we're having money problems. There is a thing called GDP, which stands for gross domestic product. In simple terms, it means the amount of all income generated in the country from the sale of goods and services over a period of time, like for a year. In other words, every dollar that is made in the entire country, every product sold, and every type of service offered, every penny earned by every individual within these borders over a one-year time frame. That amount is currently $27 trillion. That's all the money that we make from goods and services here for a year. We passed a bad threshold years ago, one that is inescapable, like the event horizon of a black hole. When your debt surpasses your GDP, you owe far more than you could possibly make. This is where people file for bankruptcy. But how's the country going to file for bankruptcy? Like, how crazy would that be? Oops, we have to file bankruptcy. You can't really do that as a nation. But that's not the worst of it. The $33.1 trillion is just our base debt. It doesn't include what's known as unfunded liabilities, which includes Social Security and Medicaid. If you were to include the real money that goes into these programs, in addition to our national debt, the total would be $227.3 trillion. This is just shy of a quarter quadrillion dollars. It's like a next level thing when you can start referencing the debt as quadrillion. You know, it sounds like a kid making up a math figure, but it's real. This is reality. But this all shouldn't come as a total surprise when you consider the fact that the present administration has been spending money left and right. Did you know that even if the government does shut down and all of the services we talked about stopped, that Ukraine would still receive unlimited funding from us? Yeah. Even if there's a piece of legislation that says, oh, we're shut down, you can't spend this money, you only have this much to work with, the president can still make an executive order. It doesn't have to go through Congress. He can just sit right at his desk and sign on a piece of paper, executive order number, you know, 10 million, whatever it is now, send Ukraine as much money as I feel like it, and sign it, and boom, it's into law. There it is. So they have unlimited everything in regards to that. It's ridiculous. There is an exemption that was passed into law regarding aid to Ukraine that allows the government to give them money when we don't have it, above all regulation and restriction. We're not just paying for the Ukrainian aid, but we're also paying their government employees' salary and pensions. Did you realize that? We're paying the salaries of their federal employees and their pensions. So that tells me that this is in for the long haul. You know, we're going to pay their pensions after they retire too. How long exactly are we planning to be doing this? We're paying for their entire economical functionality. We're loaning their small businesses money, paying for their education and other things, housing, shelter, food. Like, hey, we kind of have those problems like right here too. You know, homeless, veterans that are disabled, any veteran. I mean, this is real stuff that we're overlooking here, but we're the first ones to jump overseas and have 900 military bases. All right, so I said all that. We're even doing the same thing at the border, letting in hundreds of thousands, even millions of illegal immigrants. Some of these are murderers, rapists, serial killers, and terrorists. And I would like to add drug dealers. There is a huge fentanyl crisis coming up from the border, unchecked. They don't even have enough Border Patrol agents down there to properly check these people in. And if you look at the video footage of who's coming across the border, it's primarily military-aged men. That's not good, you know? And they're speaking Russian, they're speaking Chinese, they're speaking all kinds, they're from all different, a whole diverse set of backgrounds, and they're just coming right on in, unchecked. They're basically getting a head count, and that's all they're doing. This administration is giving them amnesty, and you and I are paying for their housing, education, food, and giving them weekly paychecks for doing nothing. I read an article on the news in the state of New York that greatly disturbed me. They took an assisted living home where elderly people that are trying to live out their last days in peace reside. And they kicked them all out. They basically gave them a couple weeks to find somewhere else to be. Find somewhere else to die, is what they said, basically. And what they did was they made room for the illegal immigrants that have been granted amnesty and moved them into that facility. What? This is outrageous. And people were upset. They were protesting in the streets. They were not happy about it. they just come back and they push this ridiculous, what I personally feel, a ridiculous agenda of this extremism. And anytime you hear about this kind of stuff on the news where they try to downplay all these actions, they always find some way in their wording. They choose their words very carefully. They always repeat the same trigger words. I just watched it on the news the other day. The guy said it so fast you almost couldn't understand it, like he's programmed to say it. He said, extreme right-wing MAGA Republicans. It's like off of a script. If you don't know, MAGA means Make America Great Again. It was President Donald Trump's slogan. So they're associating him with extremist terrorism, and now they're using this keyword. It's the right-wing extremist MAGA terrorist's fault. Every time they talk on the news, it's ridiculous. There's something wrong when, like, everybody's in on it and, like, everyone's doing it all together and it's the same thing across the board. Like, wow, such unity. You know, they're all in on it. It's a scheme. Our nation is being destroyed by this open border policy, as well as the whole print money out of thin air routine, and then give it to everyone and everything else except those who need it. This nation used to have its money, the US dollar, pinned to gold. And what that meant was you could not print any more money than what you had in value with gold. So if I had like $10,000 worth of gold, I couldn't print more than $10,000 because I had to be able to cover that $10,000 with an equal amount of gold in case something happened to my currency, in case I defaulted, in case I went bankrupt or anything. Oh, here's the value of that money in gold. So nobody loses. And it used to be that way. Then what they did was President Richard Nixon, I believe in 1971, signed into law that they would remove the gold standard. So now the dollar was no longer linked to gold, that there was nothing to back up the value of the dollar. It's literally just paper that says a dollar, $5, $10. It's basically a, we promise, you know, it'll have value and that's it. It's all we have to go by. So now we don't have anything of value to back up the integrity of our dollar. The only thing going for the dollar is the fact that it's the world reserve currency. And what that means is any other foreign nation, if they want to buy, trade, or sell, like oil in particular, they have to do it in the US dollar. So we only have strength in our dollar because everybody in the world is using it. So because it's kind of needed, like it's stable right now. But that's changing. If you've ever heard of the term BRICS, like the BRICS nations or whatever, and they're making their own currency overseas, what that is, it's a group of countries that are coming together and they're basically saying, we're kind of tired of using the dollar. We're kind of tired of the United States getting into everyone's business all over the world and like messing up entire countries and their economies and their whole social structure. So they're starting to wean off of the dollar. They're no longer trading oil in the US dollar. So the dollar is weakening because everyone's not using it anymore. And we don't have anything to back it up. You know, its integrity with gold or anything. So it's not good. And because there's so many dollars out there in circulation in the world, when people stop using it, they're going to get rid of the dollar. What they do is they send it back. And that money comes back into our economy, into the system. Just loads and loads of money that's coming back, not being used. That devalues the dollar. You know, if I have one nice looking shiny rock, it's valuable because there's none other like it. But when you have 10 shiny rocks, all of a sudden that one kind of loses its value a little bit because there's all these other cool, shiny rocks. That's the principle. That's what's happening. We're getting lots of shiny rocks, and they're becoming worthless. So this whole printing money out of thin air thing is not working. But this is what they do. How else do you think that they're giving billions and billions of dollars, like every 2 weeks, to Ukraine? Those printing presses have got to be glowing red hot because they're constantly being used. They're like water-cooled machines printing money 24/7, 365. And if you look back in any history of any country, when you do exactly what we're doing now, you end up with a completely devalued currency. And then you end up with not just inflation, what we're feeling now, but hyperinflation. And that's when it's happened all over the world. A loaf of bread costs $80,000 because the value of it, not because of supply and demand, but because the value of the dollar has gone so far down that it takes that many dollars to buy these basic essential items. It's happened before. So why can't they come together and pass a bill that lets the government spend more money to avoid a shutdown? We're talking now about why is it such a hard, difficult thing to pass a bill to extend the government spending money so that we don't all lose our food stamps and benefits and health care and being able to take care of the elderly and the children? Why is it such a difficult thing? All they have to do is sign a piece of paper that says, go ahead and spend this much more money for the next 30 days. Boom, done. That's it. Imagine drafting a bill that expands the ability to spend money for the next 30 days to avoid a shutdown. This is what happens. 5% of that bill is actually about increasing the spending limit temporarily. The other 95% is the wishes and desires of the other parties tucked away underneath. So this is what happens. They draft a bill, let's do more spending so everyone doesn't get punished. But then underneath that, it's now let's open the borders for 5 more years and grant amnesty to everyone. Let's go ahead and give Ukraine $5 trillion more dollars. Let's go ahead and arrest Donald Trump. Like, these are all the things that they put in there, right? That's why it doesn't get passed, because the left will put something dumb in there that the right is like, wait a minute, you're trying to get one over on us, so they shoot it down. Then the right drafts up something, all these things in it, that the left says, no, we can't have that happen, so they shoot it down. So, like, everybody's in this big pawn game suffering because each side is trying to get their own little things in this bill. Just sign the dumb bill with the money part. But see, this is how they get their loopholes in. Did you know that back when 9/11 happened, they were like, it's the terrorists. We've got to go after the terrorists no matter what. So what they did was they drafted up the Patriot Act. This thing was just about 1,600 pages long, and they literally waited until the last possible second to introduce this thing. They only had hours before it was time to vote on the bill. Who can read 1,600 pages in several hours? Nobody. But all these evil, shady things were contained in that bill. But they kept pushing and driving, the terrorists, we've got to get the terrorists, you've got to let us do it right now. So they passed the bill without reading it. I picture a couple of evil, shady senator people in a dark room somewhere laughing maniacally, writing in all these things that they have in this bill, and then let's do this, and no, let's do that. And they do it, and then now it's law. Now they can do it. Did you know that in that Patriot Act, there's a clause that says if there's ever a nuclear, biological, or chemical attack on U.S. soil, they can draft anybody 65 or older and send them to the front lines of the attack site to do cleanup duty, exposing them to radiation or chemical or biological agents. The idea being that because you're old, you're getting ready to die anyway. What? That's in there. There's provisions in there that says that it's illegal to have more than, at that time, it was 2 or 3 weeks worth of food in your house. And it's not something that they're going to enforce right away. This is the whole evilness of the scheme. It's not something they're going to send cops to your door. Do you have more than 2 weeks worth of food? No, they don't do that. They wait until there's an emergency, right? Then when there's martial law and the military is going door to door, that's when they enforce the law. Oh, you have all these things in here. Can't do that. Are you going to argue with military personnel with M16s pointed at you and your family? I mean, this is where it is. It's all been set up, and it's just waiting for the right time to enforce and enact these different things. It's always a good idea to go to Google and look up the bill that they're trying to pass of any given thing. Because in there, you'll see the fine print. What exactly are they trying to do or get away with? And it's listed right there. There was a senator that passed away. I forget her name. She just passed away within the last week. Her name was on the signature to approve the dumb bill they just passed for the... How can you sign it when you're dead? But it's fact. Look it up. It's right there. This is how corrupt the government is. And somebody caught that, and they questioned, you know, the whatever about it. And they said, well, her daughter had power of attorney over her, so she signed it on her behalf. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. Maybe I'm wrong. But I thought power of attorney, like, stopped after you died. I mean, but even beyond that, who are you to sign something in the Senate that's trying to be passed as a law? Power of attorney or not, you weren't elected to sit in that office to perform the functions of that seat of power. Like, you can't do that. But they make this stuff up and they do it because they think, well, who's going to say anything? The other problem that I personally have is watching the mainstream media, which I don't really do that often, but I review it to see what they're lying about. And what they say is the MAGA extremists do all these things, and they get upset about it, and they're demonizing anything that has to do with President Donald Trump or his followers. You know, or anyone that believes in his principles, right? And they demonize him. It's their fault that X, Y, and Z is happening. But it's not something you can actually see or reach out and touch and say, oh, there it is. It's nothing but ideals, nothing but all this conjecture. There was a Democrat he's in the Senate, a Democrat, I don't remember his name, or what state he represents. He pulled the fire alarm in the House building right before they were about to vote on the bill to try to buy more time for the Democrats to read everything that the Republicans put in the bill. That is obstruction. Like, you can't do that. But there he is doing it. It's like, well, how's one side going to point the finger at the other when they're doing the same or worse than what they're accusing the other people of doing? You can't do that. It's unbelievable. But this is what they do. They really just don't care anymore. Because this had... So, okay, going back to how they put all their little stuff in the bills and try to pass it. Because this latest bill had a President Trump flavor to it, they spewed it out and rejected it because one of the bills said they wanted to close the border and stop granting amnesty to everybody and only grant amnesty to people who came in through the legal channels into this country. And when the demon rats saw that, they had a conniption fit and they shut it down. Okay, so I said, because this had a President Trump flavor to it, they spewed it out and rejected it. But the media only wants to point out that it's because of extreme MAGA Republicans that women and children are going to starve and military members won't get paid. Both parties are guilty of trying to slip in their own agendas into the bills that are being proposed. And no one wants to agree, or else the other side will get more power. This is why it gets shot down all the time. But some of these Congress members aren't wrong for trying to address the issue at its roots, where the money is going. We've been kicking this can down the road for a very, very long time. Unfortunately, the road eventually ends at the edge of a cliff. There isn't an easy way to fix the root of this problem. It's going to end in a crash of some type. People have gotten used to the services, programs, and handouts. Now, I'm not downing anybody for receiving any kind of assistance or aid or any of that. I myself receive some of these in part. So I'm not saying it's that anyone's bad for having those benefits and programs. But there's a mindset, there's a mentality with other people that literally expect handouts to the degree that they won't work for themselves. They won't work and do what's necessary within their reasonable abilities to get themselves out of whatever predicament they're in. And that's the people group that we're talking about. Once these things are taken away, you have an entire generation of people that won't understand why their government isn't taking care of them. The government was not created to take care of its people. The government shouldn't have the responsibility of keeping us safe, keeping us well-groomed and controlled. You know, that's not its function or its purpose. That's not what it was intended for. We the people, red flag, keyword. We the people are supposed to have the ability to exercise our freedoms and our liberties. And we're supposed to be able to protect and defend ourselves. And we need a government. We do need a government. God puts people in positions of authority over us, and we need to respect that. We shouldn't outright come against that, but we should be praying for said power and authority that is over us when there's trouble, when there's things that are going wrong. We need to be praying and intervening for that. Once these things are taken away, you have an entire generation of people that won't understand why their government isn't taking care of them. To some, the idea of hard work and self-sufficiency is lost on them. The idea of going without is absurd. Many people believe their checks are guaranteed to come in the mail, that the grocery shelves will always be full, that there will always be somewhere to hop in your car and go to. Free or reduced housing, money, free money for food, free medical care, etc. It's all well and good until it can't be sustained anymore. With a 227 trillion dollar debt, it's not sustainable. It can't keep going. And eventually, enough nations are going to pull away from the dollar. Enough of the extreme money printing is going to get so out of control that the dollar is going to really be devalued. And then here comes the whole one world government system scheme. Oh, we're going to eliminate all these problems in one fell swoop, and we're going to have a one world currency. You know, these things are lining up. This is all the beginnings. The framework is being laid. It's being set in place. And it's all headed towards exactly what the book of Revelations talks about. An alarm should be going off just with how many people of unknown backgrounds are flooding into the country, and that we're throwing money at them. What does that mean for you and I? If we were at a party and we bought enough pizzas to serve 20 people, everyone might get two slices. It's kind of like those math problems in school. If Mr. C brought in two pizzas. No. But if we opened the door and allowed any passerby to join us and gave them pizza, we'd all get fractional slices that would look ridiculous before running out. The issue here is the ones invited to the party wouldn't be the first ones getting pizza. The uninvited guests would. See, that's an analogy of what's happening in our country right now. There's pizza, everybody, but all you taxpayers, all you MAGA extremists have to wait, right? And we're going to serve all the uninvited guests first. That's not right. But that's what's happening. This is why we need to pray and cover the nation, the House and Senate, the White House. We may not agree with everything that our president and his cabinet does. But we do can't pray him dead, as I've heard some people do. We have to pray that God's will would intervene in the situation according to his plan and purpose. That's it. If God leads you to say anything else, go ahead. Just make sure it's gone. This government shutdown thing, it always keeps popping up. It always keeps happening. They literally talk about this every couple of years. Oh, we're running out of money. Well, gee, I wonder why. If you look at how often they send Ukraine money. Now, I understand, you know, aid, assistance, you know, but there's too much evidence that contradicts the narrative, the story that's being told about all this. My personal tipping point of this lunacy was when the guy, the leader of Canada, Trudeau, the prime minister guy, they were in parliament and everybody was gathered around and they honored a 90-some-year-old gentleman for his efforts, his valor in World War II, because he fought in World War II to help liberate Ukraine from Russia. For those that may not remember everything in history class, if you were fighting against Russia in World War II, you were on the side of Adolf Hitler and Nazi Germany. They're all giving this guy a standing ovation, being on the side of the Nazis. What? I don't get it. But see, the whole Ukraine good, Russia bad, that mantra has so pervaded the culture and society and all the different people that true, logical, historical fact has escaped them. They don't remember, or they choose not to remember, because this is the inflow. This is the popular crowd. Ukraine good, Russia bad. And if you say it enough times and you say it long enough, people start believing it. And this is what's happened. So they're saluting and applauding with a standing ovation, basically a Nazi soldier fighting against the Allies, killing our people to stop a madman from a genocide and taking over the whole hemisphere. What on earth has happened to people, to nations? This is the gross darkness. It's right here. It's here. And it's going to get worse. So what we have to be doing is being aware with the Holy Spirit's insight to see what's really going on here. It's never good when everybody starts repeating the same keywords on the news. The White House sent a letter to the major media news outlets and said, you have a job to do and you've got to downplay this whole impeach Biden thing. Excuse me? Since when does the White House have the authority to tell the news what to report and what not to report? That's like Third Reich territory. You can't do that, man. But they did it out in plain view. Then there's allegations that some of the owners of these news outlets received threatening letters from some entity in the government saying, you better not cover any of this, you better downplay it. Spin it so it looks good. You can't do that, but they do. They do operate in this capacity. Father, we just thank you, Lord, and we give you all honor and glory. We pray, God, that you would open our spiritual eyes and open our spiritual ears. Help us to hear your voice in what's going on around us and give us discernment and wisdom as the onslaught of the enemy rages around us, that we will know what your desire is, what to say and what to do at any given time. And Father, we ask that a blanket of your peace would settle upon each one of us, knowing that you are our ultimate provider, that you would sustain us, God, no matter what calamity or chaos is going on around about us. And we trust and believe not only in your word, but in everything that you've done for each of us personally, that this would serve as part of the foundation that we stand on, God, in your name, that you would lead, guide, and direct us each and every step of the way, that you would stir up the gifts and the anointings that you have placed in each one of us to walk through this darkness, pulling out the souls that are caught and trapped, pulling out those that feel helpless, bewildered, and confused by the evil system that is around about each one of us, that we would not only ourselves, but teach others how to rise up above the storms in this world, to be in your heavenly places, to operate from this place. Father, we thank you that you are fully able and capable and willing of doing these things and more. In Jesus' name, amen.